Yeah, guess what? We're back, bitches. Okay, I promised that I would have done, well, I was going to do a podcast like 2 weeks ago, something like that. And yeah, I finally succumbed to the realization that summer is over and winter depression may set in very, very soon. So why not start the podcast again? Plus, the Seahawks covered the spread tonight. And yeah, so I figured I'm in a good mood. Why not bring this train back into the station and start doing podcasts again? It's been a long summer. Well, okay, let me just also first put a word of warning that this is my first one in like, what, three months-ish? I stopped in June, I think, right around when summer and fishing starts and starts getting serious. Yeah, and a lot of things have happened since then, but let's just go over the fishing aspect. Well, fuck it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start just start talking. Yeah, this summer and everything else associated with the 2014 fishing season can go, for lack of a better term, suck a dick, because it never got hot up in Wisconsin especially, and it never really, nothing materialized for me at all. I had an awful year in terms of tournaments and fishing success begin with. I mean, I've had one good tournament, two good tournaments, and a lot of bad ones. Well, fishing also prompted my move, which I don't know if anybody knows, but I had completely moved cities. I moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin now, home of the best supposed bass fishery in the country, which is Sturgeon Bay, Green Bay, that area on Lake Michigan. And yeah, it's definitely the best. Well, I don't know about that. I don't think it's as good as Gunnersville or any other Tennessee River lakes, the TVA lakes that are just, I mean, I don't know. I've fished both, and smallmouth, I'm just not a big smallmouth guy, so, but it is fun to an extent. But yeah, so we'll start off with one of the reasons that I moved. Well, so like, I don't know, back in June or so when I was really heavily going into tournaments, fishing every Monday, Tuesday leagues, and then, you know, having fun fishing on Thursdays or something, and then usually having a tournament on Saturday or Sunday. Back home, back in Milwaukee, it was just, I don't know. I mean, I had a shitty job driving a truck, which many of you may know, and it wasn't going well. And I apologize for the audio here. This is my first podcast from my new apartment, so. But yeah, so I mean, just every day coming home, doing the same shit, going, driving 30, 35 minutes to the lake, drop shotting all day. And I'm bad at that. I don't like doing it. Not a deep water fisherman. Never got really too hot. Weather was always garbage. It was always raining. And I'm not the one to make excuses, obviously, but I'm just going to say what I got to say. And it was just getting like legitimately physically and emotionally draining, and I'm not a depressed person. I never get that way, but it was just one of those things where it was every day the same thing, every week the same thing, every weekend the same thing, all summer. Well, up until, I don't even know when did I move. I moved July 28th, so up until almost August. Actually, no, I moved August 15th. So yeah, it was, there's a lot of stuff dealing with a lot of things, and so what I did was I just legitimately pursued a job that I'll mention maybe in a future podcast. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it right now, but maybe I will. Who knows? Who gives a shit? This is my first one back. So, I don't know. I just needed a change, and I've always liked the Green Bay area. Casey, one of the guys on Bass Squad, he lives up here. And him and I have been fishing together since, Christ, 2009. So, yeah, so I mean, so I know the area, and I know the lakes around here. It's fun. So I just up and moved. I had an opportunity presented to me earlier in the summer to work at a facility that I now enjoy 100%. And like I said, I'll explain it in just a minute, but yeah, it needed to happen. It was one of those things where I was not liking how my life was going. I did not like the way, you know, I was just swimming around in a circle, and the fishing was bad to make it the worst thing. I wasn't winning money. I was, you know, wasting a lot of money in gas, fishing constantly. It was one of those things where fishing didn't become fun anymore. It wasn't even remotely a enjoyable experience for me to go out on the water. It was just, oh, this is what I got to do. So that was part of the reason. And by the way, no advertisements, because I'm pretty sure because we took all this time off that they all just dropped. So I just renewed the pro account, so we got everything, hopefully all the archived podcasts available back up. But yeah, so then, you know, this opportunity came, and I took it. What I'm doing right now is I'm working with severely emotionally disturbed children and young adults at a facility that it's legitimately their last ditch effort before penal system or a permanent home for them. And it's insane. I mean, it wasn't a thing that I ever thought that I would pursue, but it's something that I thought I would be good at when it was presented to me. And it's paid off in more ways than one, because I got to move. I'm enjoying the fuck out of Green Bay. It's the culture here is just awesome. And, you know, it's one of those jobs where you don't even feel like you're working. I don't mean to get sappy or nothing, because I'm not. It's obviously, you guys have no idea what the half of what goes on there, and I'm not, again, trying to be holier than thou type of person, but it's fucking crazy there. And, you know, these kids are the worst of the worst, and in terms of crime, or, you know, I can't really discuss a lot of the things that actually go on there, but yeah, so I mean, it's pretty awesome. And I also wanted to just, I don't know, fishing has been one of those things that's always been the solid thing in my life, but that's one of the things that actually chose me to move, made me move, because I needed to get away from everything for a while, and it was tough. And that's quite part of the reason why I haven't been doing this, is because I've been on the water just grinding for some of the time, and some of the times just like, you know what, I don't want to talk about fishing right now. It's not on my mind, and it's going to be on my mind in about a month. Obviously, it's once the lakes start freezing over, then that's when the itch is going to start coming back, like it always fucking does. But yeah, I'm glad I'm doing these again. And so, Christ, I don't even know what to begin with. How about a nerd report? You guys want that? I mean, not really a nerd report, just a review of a couple of books that I've read. Well, two. I don't know if I mentioned this the last time, but I finished Sex at Dawn by Dr. Christopher Ryan, which is, it's pretty interesting look on human sexuality. And like, it actually describes the tribal mentality and how people, why they were attracted to certain things, and why we're, you know, disproves the myth that all men are attracted to women's tits because they breastfed. Well, you know, women breastfeed too. It's not like, so that was kind of a weird thing. And it goes into like all this fertility stuff and just weird, weird stuff. And it's really interesting. And it also shows why men that are, you know, have one partner that they're monogamous with, they also are looking at other partners just involuntarily. So ladies, if you're listening to this, which you're probably not, because who the fuck wants to listen to this dumbass just rant about this, you know, fishing and talking and yelling and screaming at the mic. But some guys just can't help it. The tribal mentality is that we were never really monogamous evolutionarily. We weren't a type of culture that was a monogamous culture, which we are now, based on partly because of religious doctrine, partly because of governmental reasons and stuff like that. So, I mean, we were originally supposed to be around 100 to 140 people in our, you know, close community. And, you know, the world is 7 billion people strong now, growing in every day. And it's just, our minds aren't set up for that. What we were originally for was, you know, everybody raising everybody as their own. They're just crazy, crazy stuff. So I recommend that book, Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan. I also, I read another book. I was just walking around Barnes & Noble one day just because I get bored. And I saw this book called Stuff White People Like. And it is one of those books that I finished in like 3 or 4 days. And it had me on the floor laughing because it just hits on every single stereotype that a white person has and just makes fun of people. And it's really enjoyable read. It's only about 180 pages, so it's a quick book to read, but it's really hilarious and makes fun of, you know, indie movies and, you know, white people liking to be cultured even though they're not willing to move. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but that one, Christian Lander, I think is the guy's name who wrote that book. I don't have it in front of me, so So that one's that. But now I just started reading the other day The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is an evolutionary biologist, and he is one of my, like, people that I really look up to. And, you know, it's not Kevin Van Damme, obviously, but I don't care if you guys know what this, if you guys don't care if you guys want to listen to this or any, or what, but, yeah, he's an outspoken atheist. I don't know if you know that, but he came out with a documentary that I just watched a couple days ago called The Unbelievers with him and Lawrence Krauss, and it's not really attack in religion, or, you know, because if you're a person of faith, you know, more power to you. You go and do what you got to do, and I respect completely everything that you're about. Though I may not practice some of those things, it doesn't, you know, it's freedom, you know, that's what we have in this country and other countries. And but this basically, it's not really an attack, like I said, on religion or religious doctrine. It's more so a promotion of science and knowledge and the learning to question things. And it's an intense documentary. And the book that I'm reading, The God Delusion, is pretty intense too as well. Yeah, I've always, I don't know, this is, seems kind of lame, but every single night by the time I go to bed, I don't watch, you know, movies or listen to music. I don't do that. I watch scientific lectures because it puts me to sleep, one. And two, it's just so damn interesting to hear these guys talk about just the craziest things, like especially evolution. It just boggles my goddamn mind that it can even exist, and it does exist, and it's outstanding. And this guy, Richard Dawkins, is funny, but he's so damn awkward, and his language is weird. It's a good book, so if you want to pick up anything, I'd probably suggest starting with, like, The Selfish Gene, or The Greatest Show on Earth, before you jump into The God Delusion, because The Greatest Show on Earth is, like, it's more of a book that is jumping towards the proof, so to say, of natural selection, and how beautiful and how crazy it actually is, that it's a observed thing. So you might want to start off with that before you jump fully into The God Delusion, which is, it's, I'm not gonna lie, it's more of an attack, but, you know, it's, I respect the guy, and I like the way his take on things. So I'm gonna, suggest that. So yeah, so that's about the nerd report that I got right now. Don't want to jump too much into anything else, because, you know, three, four minutes are about enough, is what all you guys can take, and that's all I want to blab about. Let's see, I'm looking right now at my Ethernet cord that's connected to my internet that I didn't have at my old place. This one now will prompt way better quality and more frequent Skype interviews, hopefully, because it's hardwired and it gets a better connection. So I'll be able to do actual interviews, legitimate interviews, where I don't gotta get pissed off because the audio's off or something's broken, or I get kicked off the internet because the internet sucks or something like that. So now hopefully we should be able to, then cross my fingers, and obviously not gonna jump in and say it's gonna definitely happen, because I've said that before, and you guys know just as well that I make stuff, say things, and it just doesn't happen because, you know, stuff comes up and life happens, as what looks like was my last podcast name. But, Green Bay is one of the coolest places I've ever, you know, seen anyways before I moved up here. The culture of football and just the whole... I'm not going to mention the bar culture, because that's, you know, there's a lot of douchebags that live up here. as opposed to just like any big city. But the football culture up here is just outstanding, and I got a chance to go to a couple, you know, Packer games. I don't know if you guys are Packer fans, but you guys obviously know the story. We're publicly owned. We don't have an owner. We've been around since the beginning of the NFL, essentially. Professional football, basically, the whatever. And the people here live and breathe this sport. I mean, there's a lot of Packer fans everywhere, but this city is just hilarious on how many people are huge supporters of the Packers franchise. And game day is something to be experienced. If you guys have a chance to come to either a game at Lambeau or just sitting around the stadium, going to the bars, going to the parties, going to everything around the stadium, please do it. It is something that you won't ever regret doing. Yes, there's a lot of drinking and alcohol involved, but it's nuts. I mean, even I remember my dad came up actually for the Jets game a few weeks back, and we've never done that. We've had season tickets since I was young. I mean, I might even not even been born when we got them, but we came here for the first time ever not going to the game. Or he came here because I live a mile from the stadium. I live a mile from Lambeau Field, and we went to the pregame parties. We stayed there all day, watched the game at a sports bar, and you know, around 1,500 of our family members. I mean, it's legitimately packed. It's crazy on how many fans are there and how many people support the team. And it then after the game, of course, you got mixed within the Packer fans, Jets fans, or any other fans for that matter after the game. And there's no fighting, there's no yelling and screaming, there's no shit talking. It's just people are there to enjoy themselves. And, you know, I talked to a couple of people that were wearing Jets stuff, and they're like, you know, we don't get this every day when we're in New York. Or this guy was from Brooklyn, and he said he would live here if he possibly could. I mean, it was so cool to see a Jets fan just loving the culture as well. And, you know, we were all nice to him. There was no fights. Can't say that all the time for downtown bars when it's just, you know, mid-20s guys there. There's lots of fights. I don't know what it is about the Green Bay area, but yeah. So I'm going to get off of this me talking about my life thing, because nobody gives a fuck about my life. Okay. Yes, you do, because I'm just going to talk about my life this whole time, this starting off podcast about just getting myself back into the swing of things of talking about fishing and talking about everything, you know, that I do on these podcasts. We've reached almost 1,200 Twitter followers, which is fucking crazy to me, knowing that we started this less than a year ago. And obviously we're all in the same thing. We're all in the same boat, pardon the pun, but it's we don't do much on social media or socially for that matter during the summer, because we only have 4 or 5 good months, or in this year's case, no good months to fish. I mean, I don't know if it is like that for anybody else, but this summer for me was, to get back on my obviously my digression and my ADD is still completely prevalent, and I can't ever focus on one thing. So, but yeah, no, we're going to try and do this, do a good like we did last winter. And we interacted the whole time and tweeted a lot and Facebooked and YouTube videos and all that. We're going to continue that as November rolls around and we start throwing the old boats in storage and not really focusing on fishing physically, but, you know, just the fun aspect and talking to people and talking about how people are surviving winter and all that. So we're going to get back into that swing of things. I mean, we did a little bit of posting over the summer, but it wasn't nearly as much as we did before the season started. Because like I said, you guys got to understand that we only have a certain amount of time we can get on the water. We're not privileged like some people that live down south or some people that live other places that, you know, you get to fish 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can do it whenever you want. I mean, right now, the Gunnersville frog bite's just heating up. And I wish the Wisconsin frog bite ever heated up this year, because, like I said before, I'm a shallow water guy. And that's what I live and die by. I didn't even try to. I don't think I threw a crankbait all 3 months. Maybe a little bit towards the end of the year. I started throwing a couple of crankbaits, but I didn't even throw a crankbait. I didn't throw a jig. I mean, a deep water jig, like a football hat or something like that, or a Carolina rig. I didn't do any of that this whole summer. I stuck, like I said, I was going to try and expand my horizons in the beginning of the year. That didn't happen. It's the truth every single year. It's always, yeah, you know what, this year I'm really going to get good at deep cranking, but it never materializes because I always end up just, I don't really just fish for fun anymore, which is kind of sad, but I just kind of, there's no point in trying to learn on the water while you're, you know, in a tournament or practicing for a tournament. You got to do what you're good at. And yeah, I wish I could do better, but I'm just not good at deep water fishing. I bought a side imager. I scanned a lot. I did a lot of that stuff, but just wasn't in the cards for me this year to learn how to deep water fish. So, like I said, I stuck to the bank, and would you believe, shit never got going for me. It has to be, I don't know, it was something to do with the extreme weather we experienced and never getting really, Tyler, you gotta go through puberty one of these days, but I don't know, it never really got warm enough for legitimate thick slop to form, especially on some of the river lakes, or some of the river impoundments, what you want to say. And yeah, I had not gotten on a good bite, frog bite especially, in the milfoil or the thick slop once this year. Granted, I didn't fish the Mississippi River or a ton of bodies of water because most of the summer has been focused on work and, you know, making money so that I can afford something that may be in the future as opposed to, you know, jumping onto my dream right now. Kind of got some realization, life hit me in the face a little bit, and yeah, so I didn't fish nearly as much, but I still fish probably 20 tournaments or some odd tournaments and a ton of leagues, and it wasn't like a slow year for me by any stretch of the imagination, but yeah, I mean, the milfoil never really grew in for me, so it never really, there was one good day of milfoil that I found, and it was a tournament that I'll explain in a minute, but yeah, it was a brutal year, and it humbled me, obviously, like it does all the time, where, you know, I'm a big-time frog fisherman and never got on a good frog bite, not once all year. The entire year, Wisconsin has been piss poor for frogging, at least where I'm at. I think, you know, one good day you can say, and even that wasn't a great day. But what the funny thing was is that, actually, I did learn something this year, is how to fish lily pads effectively. Because the reason being, there was no slop, there was no thick stuff on the bank, the punching, the all that stuff that I love to do, frogging on the, you know, the holes and everything like that. Like it does when it gets uber hot this, you know, in the summer and just kind of mats up and the fish really position themselves underneath those thick mats. It never really happened for me. So what I had to do was adapt, and you know, those fish are still in the same area, but now focus on lily pads. And I was never good at fishing lily pads, but I kind of got the hang of it towards the end of the year. Figured out where to pitch. I was pitching a lot of tubes this year and pit bosses, just punching through right to the bottom of the tubers. Like I kind of figured how to look at the lily pads and see where the center of the mass of them, because they're not like a single stalk and one lily pad per bulb or whatever you want to call the base of them, and that's actually under the water, in the muck or whatever. There's like a bunch of them, so you kind of get the hang of figuring out where the actual like mass starts at, and you pitch right to the middle of that, and that's where I would get the majority of my bites. And frogging, a couple of things I found that you can fish a lot more effectively than I thought in the lily pads with a frog, and just finding the fish to begin with. But also that I've noticed this really weird thing that Casey and I both noticed this summer, that we would get a lot of fish to show themselves, by pausing the bait on top of the lily pad, actually pausing the frog, like, legitimately in on the top of the pad. For whatever reason, I don't know, I can't explain to you why. I'm not going to be one of those guys that say this is the reason why, but I think the fish just no idea. Honestly, I have no idea, but we'd always get a lot of rolls. Obviously, we didn't get any bites. I mean, we didn't really catch many. When the fish would just try and knock off whatever's on the top of the lily pad just to get a better look at it. And when it would knock it off, it would just generally then roll again right on where it was. I don't know what the reasoning behind that is, but I figured that out this summer. That was a little nuance that I never really knew before. So that was something that actually good that came out of this year. Hopefully I can expand on next year. But from the looks of it, the weathermen are saying that the polar vortex is going to be even worse this year up here. So got that looked forward to, which is nice. If you pardon my Caddyshack reference. So anyways, let's go to the actual happy note. this has kind of been me just bitching the whole time about how bad the summer was. One happy note, and this happened a few months ago. So my recollection of it will be probably only like 95% true. I have a stupid memory, and stupid good memory about past tournaments, and Casey and I both make fun of ourselves on how much we like remember shit that happened years and years ago that we shouldn't remember. Hey, remember that time you lost that fish right there on that log, on that branch right there? Yeah, that was the day I was throwing a pitbull, I was throwing whatever. You know, we just have this stupid photographic memory when it comes to fishing. Clogs up the rest of our mind for useful information, like math or anything else that you might actually need in your life, as opposed to what bass hit on this certain log. It might not even have been a bass. It might have been a fucking northern, or who the hell knows. But anyway, so we had fished this series that we've always fished, and it was... We've done really well in a certain body of water. I apologize. I'm drinking Miller Lite at the moment, so if you hear me stopping, that's just me taking a drink and having a good night. But so we started. We didn't really. He didn't practice, and this is before I even. Well, no, you know what? I did move up, and we had extreme confidence going in. We know the body of water. We know what to do. It was a hot day, no wind, and that's what we like. We like those 90-degree days. I think this is actually one of the hotter days of the year, which was sadly 85 degrees or something like that. So it only hit 90 once in Wisconsin, which sucks for me. I love it just sticky hot and no wind, just blaring sun right on you. It's just the greatest for me because it, you know, it makes the fish super predictable. But so anyways, so we start off on an area we've done well in the past, and we catch one 2.5-pounder right away, which was awesome. And then we go to a side bay that we actually didn't get another bite, I don't think, until like 8:30. And Casey sets the hook, and his rod doubles over, and we catch a 5 right off the bat. And it's amazing how many times you look back at a tournament and say, wow, we were one good bite away. Like, you know, it's always the case. Every single tournament, you're that one bite is so goddamn crucial. It's unbelievable. You have 11.5 pounds with a 1.5, you know, that's your rat or whatever, and you catch a 4 or a 5, and that bumps you up to 14, 15 pounds. It's just so respectable then. It's unbelievable on how much that one big bite matters. But so we've been a victim to that so many times. Me and him are notorious for catching 12.5 to 13 pounds of the same exact size fish every single tournament. We have the exact same size fish. We don't win much because we're so consistently good at catching everything but the kickers. And some of these guys, you know, they catch 1 4-pounder, 1 5-pounder, and a bunch of rats. You know, so it sucks, but you know that's the way fishing goes, obviously. So when we caught that 5, Casey lands the 5, we both freak out, and we're like, okay, finally we get to relax the rest of the day and, you know, just pick apart and get, you know, do what we got to do. Well, it wasn't that easy of a day. It was the bites were very few and far between. It was a tough, tough day, and I caught one flipping a Pit Boss on a pad stem, and that was like a 16, 17 inch. It was like 2 pounder, 2.5 pounder. Casey catches another one. So we got our limit out. We got our limit right around, we want to say 12.5 pounds. I mean, which was not, we're not going to win with that weight at this lake. You know, it generally takes 15 pounds or more to win. And so we're scrambling a little bit, but it's about, I don't know, 1 o'clock. And I actually pitched a 1 ounce weight into a tree because it was such a thick tree that, and there was a lot of water underneath. And I found a really good technique and actually learned it from, crazy, I think I learned it like 4 years ago at the national championship in Lake Louisville when Sonar and the guys from, and Casey from UCF were punching trees. And I never even thought of it before, but you flip a really heavy weight right and crash through all the branches and everything, and it just penetrates right to the deepest crazy stuff of the tree limb. And, you know, as soon as it's falling, it bangs into a bunch of branches, and all of a sudden something feels funny. It's a really weird thing because, especially when you're punching trees, you feel that constant tick as it's hitting every single branch. And then you feel something different, but I can't explain what that something different is, but you just know instinctively to just set the hook. So I set the hook, and it was like a 3-pounder. So it jumps our weight up to about 14, 13 and a half, 14, I would say. So we still got like a 15 in the live well, which, you know, sucks. We know that we still have that one or two more bites away from closing it out. And so we put a little bit down the bank, and I had one of the best blow-ups of the year by far on a frog. I set the hook, and I saw the mouth and everything. As I'm set the hook, it tailwalked, and it was a good one. I mean, it had to be over 4. I don't want to speculate, but it was the best one I had on all year. And I'm burning it in, grabs into some weeds, and I pull it out, and it just, some reason, just let go. It doesn't happen often, especially frogging and, you know, high speed reel. Can't even, it barely ever happens to me, but this thing had a lot of weight to it, and it had some shoulders, and it was, I could feel the head shaking. It was a giant, and it came off. So that was a little disheartening. That was around 1. No, time of the tournament get done. No, so that must have been 12. So the tournament got done at 2. So we go to the pad field. I catch a 17, which we didn't know was very important at the time, but caught like a 17 and called out another 6 to 15 and a half, whatever I had. So that jumped us up to maybe 15 pounds. Then we're making our way. This is where this crazy stuff happens with fishing that makes me want to keep going and keep coming back, because this kind of stuff happens all the time. We're on our way back to the launch, and we were going to just go right in because we have a respectable weight. We have around 15 and a half, 16 pounds. We figured because it was a tough day and we only got 6-7 bites, legal bites all day. So we're just talking and bullshitting, you know, yelling at other people because we've been fishing with these guys for 5 years. So we're yelling across the bay. It's like a small, long channel back to the boat ramp. And so I'm just throwing a frog, talking to Casey about my work. And I remember it distinctively. I skip it way back into a thing. We're behind another boat, and he wasn't frogging or nothing. He was just doing whatever he's doing. I don't remember exactly. But as I'm talking to Casey, I pause my frog, and I get a blow-up but at 155, and the tournament ends at 2. And we were basically like saying, okay, a couple more casts, whatever. I mean, we were just talking shit and saying we probably got the win. But, you know, this giant blow-up happens, and I set the hook, and it turns out a 5-pounder hits at the last second. So we have another giant in the bag. And I just flipped because I'm like, okay, now for sure we got this thing won. And it just was one of those surreal things that I didn't really realize. Turns out that was our last cast of the day. We put it in the bag, threw out our littlest one, and went to the ramp. Well, we weighed just under 17 pounds, barely under 17 pounds with 5, which is a pretty good bag, especially on like an inland river for largemouth in Wisconsin. And another team weighed in 15, and we looked and we kind of did the math, and we're like, we called about 2.5 pounds. So that fish may or may not, I mean, if we would have not caught that last fish on our last cast of the day, we would have been very, very close to not winning. But we ended up winning, and it was just fucking awesome. And finally we won in that body of water, and it just huge monkey off our back. And that tournament was good payouts for the year. And we ended up actually, without me saying it was a shitty year, we cashed in like three tournaments out of six. And Casey went on a fucking tear this year. He won his club and his personal one man club. And, you know, so we were actually in the green this year, not in the red, which is surprising. I don't want to say surprising, but I mean, but based on the year and how our style was, we really figured a way. We really adapted this year, and that's what I was pretty happy with. But as far as fun goes, it was not a fun year at all for me. I wish it was better. Wished it was better. And, you know, this is going to make for one long goddamn winter, so I'm going to definitely have to make my way down to Alabama again like I did last February and just crack on a few Giants. I don't know if I'm going to go to the Classic again this year, but yeah, so that was one of the good stories of the summer. Christ, I think that was right around end of July, something like that. But 2 weeks ago, the week before, we had me and my partner from college, Adam, had a Wisconsin River Series championship two-day tournament on a lake up near Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and it's a big river system area thing up there. Who cares what the name is? But it's not an easy lake, and we've really never fished it before. We did poorly our first time around there. Caught like 9 pounds, 10 pounds. That would have been a 7-pound limit had it not been for a lucky goddamn largemouth biting on a spot. We only caught smallmouth all week, and we've never caught a largemouth there yet. I was cranking wood on a drop off, and one popped. Actually, you know what? I take that back. The statement I made before, I did throw a crankbait, and it was in the beginning of September. Sorry, guys, I apologize, but I caught a lucky largemouth, and it ended up jumping us with to the crazy weight of 9.96 pounds, which was in the top 10. That shows you how fun this lake was. But it supposedly fished awesome previously, but like every other lake, it's on a downswing, like most of them are up here. But so we had a general idea what we wanted to do. We had a really good morning bite. We caught our limit by 7:30. I mean, on spooks with smallmouth in early September. So that's where we started. And we didn't know because the water was right around, 56, 57 in the morning, day one. And the smallmouth bite was on fire again. So we just blasted our limit quick. And 8:30, didn't get another bite the rest of the day. It was brutal all day. We were legitimately just scrambling around looking for things that are good that might hold fish in the afternoon. And it is a very tough body of water, especially when you have 50 boats and it's not very big. So, you know, a lot of places get fished over, and it's a big timing deal type of lake, what we kind of gathered. So we had just under 10 pounds again, which, you know, sucks, but we were in the running still. I mean, we were only 4 pounds out of the lead, which is a lot, but based on this lake, when a lucky fish can happen, you know, you still got to fish pretty hard the next day. And so we did a lot of map study. We were up late and doing all this. And so, like I said, we didn't catch a single fish after 7:30, 8 o'clock. I mean, maybe an odd one here or there on flipping wood, but they weren't legal, and they didn't help our limit. And we tried largemouth. That was just a complete lost cause because the largemouth bite just shut off. Like, I don't know if there was more than 10, maybe 8 largemouth weighed in the whole tournament. But those guys that were catching just largemouth, they were in the running again. So we were like, okay, well, tomorrow we'll focus on smallmouth in the morning and then, you know, grind our way and try and catch a largemouth or do something different. So, but we banked on our morning bite, which is always a bad thing to do, especially when smallmouth are involved. Looking back, it was a stupid fucking idea because we get to our spot that we whacked on the day before, and we didn't really see anybody on that area all day, and we kept running back and checking because we figured the smallmouth didn't move far. So we tried that whole area. It wasn't a very big area, but we tried deep, we tried shallow, we tried all day, you know, throwing tubes, throwing jigs, crankbaits, spinnerbaits, all that during the day. Because they must have gone somewhere close, what we thought. And we didn't have enough time to expand on it, figuring out where they actually were in the afternoon. So we made our way there, and guess what happened in the morning? The fucking bite was off. And it was warm all night. It, you know, everything that said it should be on, foggy until about 8:30. So it was, you know, cloud cover was good. The shade was good. Everything was good. They weren't there. They were in little waves, and we were just catching shorts. And we'd have a couple of good blow-ups, but they would always miss. I had one where I was burning a spook back, and I saw a 3.5-pounder jump out of the water right next to the boat. So what I did was I put my spook back in the water just on the tip of my rod, and he swings at it again right by the boat and just didn't somehow inhaled the spook and didn't get the hooks in his mouth. So, you know how it goes with smallmouth. So at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, we didn't have a single fish in the boat. So we just pulled off. We did the thing that was logical, which was pull off of the area where they were shallow, go to the drop-off area, throw tubes, do what you got to do. And we would only catch shorts. So we went deeper, threw a couple deep-diving crankbaits, nothing. Crawled tubes down the whole bank, crawled tubes down the hole, everything. And nothing. It was very ridiculous. And so 10 o'clock happens. So now we're like completely scrambling. We got, you know, weigh in 5 hours. So we run to the dam, under the dam, and fished that and nothing. So we run to a different side dam that is treacherous to get up to and nothing. We caught one little tiny short. Then we just started fishing for largemouth and that nothing and materialized with that. Then, you know, we just started fishing bridges, do the things that, like, classic was just, let's scrounge a limit out, because if it's tough today, it's tough for everyone, and it was tough for everyone. I mean, the weights, and you know, showed that the day two, there was nothing like day one. I mean, 14 pounds was, like, a crazy day one, and didn't even come close to that second day. So we were like, okay, well, let's just get something. By 1 o'clock, you know, we're still reeling. We're going on every bit of riprap we can find, hopefully run into a school, and nothing happened, and we zeroed, which was great for my last tournament of the year, to zero in it, and yeah, so that was completely depressing, and that was the last time I fished, which was a week, 2 weeks ago, and I plan on fishing a lot this November up on the Menomee River, fishing for smallmouths that they're actually positioned right. And, you know, we were going to fish last week, but it got super windy and crazy, so we didn't even fish. Yeah, I mean, that's been my life. It's been hectic as fuck. Got a crazy good new job. And, you know, just enjoying my life. Finally, you know, just being, there's a different scenery, and it's, fishing-wise has been terrible, but this year has been, the last few months especially, have been one of the most beneficial things that's ever happened to me, and I'm glad that I live close to Stevens Point, because I still get to see my buddies, and also, I have one thing to announce that nobody cares about, nobody even knows, but one of my best friends from college, who was my, I'm going to tell just a small story, but, or a short story, I don't know what meant by small story. But so in college, I had a next door neighbor in my dorm, and he was, you know, we were pretty good friends, and then we ended up hanging out a little bit more, and whatever. We went to a lot of parties. We were basically attached at the hip every single day. Don't mean to sound weird, but like we were like so close, it was unbelievable, and we had a lot of fun. And this guy is legitimately the weirdest person I've ever met in my entire life. I'm a fucking strange dude. This guy is beyond that. And you, I don't want to throw nothing under the bus here, so I'm not going to tell everybody the whole story, but I would be very surprised if you ever found a girl that would like him, even, let alone, you know, date him. I can't even say half the things that happened, and maybe I'll get him on here one time. But so he had some shit happen to him recently that I won't get into. That was not good. And then he got a good job working as a construction worker. Well, not a construction. I don't even know what he does. He welds fucking things on the top of those huge radio towers and changes light bulbs, maybe. I don't even know. Alex, I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong. But I know he works at a very extreme distance up in the air. And he sends me Snapchats of him falling off and joking around and doing all these stupid things that only he would do because he's got the worst sense of humor, the craziest sense of humor I've ever met. But yeah, so one day I was on Facebook, and I'm not going to say his last name, but Alex is now engaged to such and such. I'm like, text him, I'm like, are you really engaged? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, I didn't even know you were dating anybody. He goes, yeah, I've been dating her for a while, and yeah, I'm engaged. So congratulations to that goofy fuck. I don't know what else to say. I can't even believe that he... So I'm giving him a shout out right now because I legitimately can't believe that he's found a woman who will even tolerate him. And I told him that she must be cool because no girl would ever put up with you. So I want to meet her. And so thanks to him for doing whatever he does, saving the world, but that doesn't... I don't know. What do radio tower people do? I mean, whatever he does, thanks, Alex, and congratulations on your engagement that I still have... is very hard for me to say. But, yeah, so that's about the summary of my life, and 45 minutes in, that's about normal Bass Squad radio time. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really, really, really sincerely apologize for being taking the hiatus this summer. But, you know, I'll be doing it again, be more frequent. I work kind of crazy-ass hours. I work from 2 p.m. until it depends on what, if I might have to do crisis overnights or do some things where I have to work all night. I've worked a couple 36-hour shifts, which have been a big pain in the ass. But I mean, I love it. I love the job. But sometimes, you know, kids get out of control, so you got to stick with them all overnight at the facility. And it's tough work, and it's rewarding and fun. But yeah, so my hours have been a little bit crazy. I can't make plans anymore because, I might get a call and say, hey, you need to get in here right now, or you need to pick this person up because he's freaking out at home or doing that or doing this. You know, it's a tough gig. But yeah. So hopefully I'll be having more interviews up, more podcasts up. Please interact more. And also, I might alienate some people, but I don't like this when it happens. Wink, wink. I don't know if that's a wink, wink situation, but the Twitter things, we get most of our updates based on Follow Fridays. Not a huge fan. Not a huge fan of... and I'm sorry again. I don't like that... You know, you get a 500 notification. It's all just retweets and things that are essentially meaningless. So, sorry, people who tag us and Follow Fridays. I mean, still do it if you want, but we haven't really done one in Christ ages. So, interact with us. That's what we like. We like interaction. We like questions. We like Facebook likes. We like a lot of things. And it would make us so much happier if this winter we jumped up to 2,000 followers. So get the word out. The podcast is starting back up. Like I said, it's been a long year. It's been a long summer. So podcasts are going to be my safe haven and hopefully your enjoyment. It'll still should be up on iTunes. I haven't really done much involving that. So please, please, please like us more, subscribe to this thing on iTunes, and hopefully we can get our sponsors back. We can get our new ones up based on your guys' explanations or recommendations, your reviews, your views, all that. So thanks again. This is TG, and he is out for the count tonight. Goodbye.